Hi, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Black Girls Have Anxiety 2, the safe space created for Black women by Black women to strip away the taboo of talking about mental health. You'll hear from mental health professionals and advocates, as well as Black women sharing their experiences as we break down the complexities, explore ways to heal, and support each other. My name is Ashley. I'm your host. Whether you're a seasoned regular or this is your first time tuning in, thank you so much for your support. Now let's get into today's episode. So we're going to hop into our mind games segment. And if you're new here, mind games is where we play a little trivia about mental health. Usually I will give you a definition or a description of a mental health disorder. And you get to guess what it is. So you can guess answer. You can cheat and go to Google, look up Dr. Geek Google. You can hit up the group chat and y'all can put your guesses there. But this is an opportunity for us to just, you know, have a little fun. So let's go ahead and get into the mind games question for today. So I'm going to give you a description. It is going to be, I'll give you a hint. It is going to be a mental health disorder. Okay. So this particular disorder is a mood disorder. It causes a persistent feeling of sadness and loss of interest in things and activities you once enjoyed. This particular disorder can also cause difficulty with thinking, memory, eating, and sleeping. It's normal to feel sad or to grieve over difficult life situations. Maybe you've lost your job, gotten laid off, had a divorce, maybe had a loss in the family. But this particular disorder is different in that it persists every day for at least 2 weeks. Sometimes it can go on for years. And it involves other symptoms other than just sadness. There are several types of this particular disorder. Go ahead and drop your guesses. If you're on Spotify, you should be able to drop your guess. And I will see you at the end of the episode with the answer. So we are going to hop into the What's the Psych Tea segment. So this is a newer segment. I just started doing this maybe, I don't know, last year. But we're just going to talk about, y'all know I'm a nerd. So I am going to go and nerd out on articles and YouTube videos and books and all that good stuff. And I see so many gems all the time and I'm like, I should share this with everybody. This is my way to share this with you all. So there is an article that the World Health Organization, or the WHO, as they're also called, released last year in 2022 about mental health at work. And just keep in mind, because it's the WHO, they are looking at the whole world, not necessarily one particular country. So what they said is that more than half of the world's population is currently working, and about 15% of working age adults live with a mental disorder. It talks a lot about how about 12 billion working days are lost every year to depression and anxiety, and particularly how people living with severe mental health conditions are actually largely excluded from work despite this being an important part of their recovery. So some of the risks that they mention for your mental health at work are excessive workloads or work pace, understaffing, long, unsocial, or inflexible hours, lack of control over job design or workload, unsafe or poor physical working conditions, organizational culture that enables negative behaviors. I think we've all been there. Of course, violence, harassment, or bullying, discrimination, unclear job role. That's another one. An under or an over promotion, job insecurity, inadequate pay, or poor investment in career development, and then, of course, conflicting home and work demands. So those are a few things that they mention as far as the risks of your mental health at work. Mental health conditions, of course, can impact families, caregivers, colleagues, communities, and of course, society at large. They're estimating that depression and anxiety cost the global economy about $1 trillion US dollars each year from reduced productivity. Now, y'all know me. I like to look at things from the holistic human being perspective. But I think given the conversation that we're having today, I think it's important to also look at it from the perspective of employers, I guess you could say, because at the end of the day, work is going to care if it makes money or if it's losing money. And I hate to put it that way, but I guess that it is, that's where we're at right now. Maybe one day we'll be somewhere differently. Maybe there are companies out there that are functioning with a different way of thought and are really being human-led companies as opposed to product only focused on the bottom line. The article goes on to talk about how the WHO has developed guidelines on mental health at work, and I'll drop that in the description for you guys. But it talks about how work-related mental health conditions are preventable, and a lot of things can be done to protect and promote mental health at work and support people with mental health conditions to participate fully and equitably in work. And so, again, I just think this is a really interesting article. They've actually got, like I mentioned, they've got the guidelines that they have. They've got a fact sheet. So for anybody that is, well, I mean, for all intents and purposes, the majority of us are working. And if you're like me, you have at some point, if you're like me or Kelly, you have at some point experienced burnout in your working career. And maybe you're not working. Maybe you're in school. Maybe you're not in school. Maybe you're a stay-at-home mom. Maybe you're unable to work for whatever reason that may be. All of us can experience burnout. But I think particularly when it comes to work and managing our mental health, it's really important. And I think as important as it is for, you know, a lot of the focus in this particular article was about productivity and the bottom line and the overall cost, I think this is actually a reminder for me in particular to remember that even if it feels like, I think at the end of the day, we have to make sure we are putting ourselves first, because the main focus for work is 9 times out of 10 going to be productivity. The main focus for work is going to be that bottom line. It is not going to be Ashley feeling burnt out because of whatever reasons. So I think this is just, it's interesting in terms of like the effects on the overall economy when essentially life would be better if we cared more about mental health and if we did more, if companies cared more and invested in mental health. But at the end of the day, whether or not a company has chosen to invest in your mental health, and regardless of what that looks like, you are responsible for your mental health. And we have to do everything in our power that we can, everything that is financially possible, that is physically possible, to acknowledge, maintain, and aspire for great mental health, because they're not going to do it for us. Like, we have to take ownership. I have a very special guest to here today, and I will just start off by saying she's extremely gracious because we recorded a couple months ago, and it was tragic on my part. Technical difficulties galore, Wi-Fi was going out, video was, I mean, everything, what's Newton's law? Everything that could go wrong went wrong. But Kelly was super gracious and was like, today's not the day, let's just reconnect. Everyone, we have Kelly Bonner from Black Girl Burnout. Welcome back, Kelly.
Yes, glad to be back. It was fun the last time.
It
It was
was
just unfortunate
fun.
with the technical difficulties, but we were really on a roll, and then things kind of life like life. Sometimes you're just going on a roll and things take a detour and you just go with it.
So that and that's exactly what happened. I wish like maybe I could find some bloopers, but it was really rough, y'all.
It
I'm
was
so
hilarious.
it was hilarious. It was like I was laughing but also crying because I'm like, how are we not catching all of this? Can we like get this again? But you've got amazing energy, so I was like, it's gonna be fine whenever she comes back. It's gonna work.
Pretty good.
But let me tell you guys a little bit about Kelly. Kelly is also I have another podcast go has I can't speak today. It's been a long day. I have another podcast guest, podcast host. My goodness, I got this.
You got this. You got this.
Another podcast host. So Kelly is the host of Black Girl Burnout. If you guys, I'm sure you guys probably have heard of Black Girl Burnout before. It's an amazing podcast. If you guys aren't listening at this moment, hop into Spotify, Apple, whatever it is. Just go follow. You can learn about it later. But make sure you
Thank you.
guys are following. But just a bit about Kelly. So she is a licensed therapist with over 15 years experience helping people and organizations transform, evolve, and heal from burnout. Heal burnout. I love that. She believes Black women have been systemically taught that their legacy is struggle, while our legacy is actually one of joy and accomplishment. And we're just gonna let that one sit for a little bit. I love that. So she is the founder of Burn Bright, a consultancy. She's revolutionizing diversity, equity, and inclusion, aka DEI training, if you're in the corporate world, with proprietary frameworks proven to increase innovation and lead to happier work environments. Now, y'all, Kelly has worked with some heavy hitters here. The Biden administration, Library of Congress, U.S. military, National Academy of Sciences, the United Nations, NATO. Am I missing anything? Because I feel like.
We don't need to get into everybody. It's
No?
fine. A
Okay.
lot of people. A lot of people. I've worked with a
Yes.
lot of different people.
I need a little button that has like the yay, the little applause button for you. But Kelly, thank you so much for joining me here today. Is there anything, first off, is there anything that I didn't cover that you do? Because you're doing amazing things, but is there anything that I didn't cover that you
Too
want to
much.
share?
I'm doing too much. That's what the lesson I was telling Ashley here. I said I started the day looking fresh face and the day looks like it ran me. I did not run my day. I'm doing too much. Like my hair is frizzed out. It is too much is the answer of what did I miss? I'm doing too much. But no, that covers it. I did a lot of stuff and had a lot of, I've been very fortunate and had a career that let me work a lot of different places and make a lot of really good connections. So when I said, oh, I'm not working for the man no more, I could start a business and still work for the man, but on my own terms.
Yes, on your own. That's the key. On your own terms this time. Yes. Well, we're going to get to know Kelly a little bit better. It's our Fast and Curious. So y'all get in your driver's seats. Get ready. Kelly, I mean, do I don't have to explain, but we might have some new people here. So Fast and Curious is just a quick icebreaker round. It's going to be 3 minutes. I'm going to throw a bunch of crazy questions at Kelly. She's going to give us a story, a quick answer, first thing that comes to mind. You ready?
Okay, I'm never quick, but I'm gonna try. I'm gonna try. I'm gonna do it this time. I'm gonna do it this time. The last time we derailed into like a 20-minute thing about books. I'm gonna do it. I'm ready. I'm ready. I'm Vin Dieseling it. I'm
You
Vin
got
Dieseling it.
this.
I believe in me.
You
Let's
got
go.
this. What is on your cell phone wallpaper?
Oh, that's easy. It's a picture of Paris in the rain, like the Eiffel Tower, and like an umbrella, and it's raining. It's beautiful.
Oh, it's very
I love
peaceful.
Europe.
Yes. Well, where's a place in Europe that you would love to visit that you have not been yet?
Turkey. Is that really considered Europe? It's like Europe and the Middle East, half Europe, half Middle East, but
Yeah,
I'd
I
like to go
say
to Turkey.
Eastern. Yeah, Eastern Europe. Turkey's beautiful, by the way. If y'all can get to Istanbul, go.
It's on my list. I've been a lot of places, not there though. It makes me sad.
Yeah. I lived in Bulgaria for a bit and I had to visa hop there quite a few times. And it's beautiful.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. Okay. If you could be any season, what season would you be?
Oh, this is good. I think the fall. I'm a fall girl.
Oh, okay. I like it. I like it.
I like the colors of fall. I love the coziness of it. That's fall.
Are you like cuddle up by like a fire and like big blanket?
Blanket, tea. Yeah, yeah. A nice sweater. Sweater season. That's what I feel like I would be. It's not too cold yet. I think the fall.
Okay. Me. I love it. Sweater weather.
Mm-hmm.
Sweater weather? Okay. Kelly, what book are you reading right now?
Okay. This is where we derailed last time, but I'm going to stay good. I'm going to stay the course. I am currently reading, it's Emily Henry's latest book. It's called The Happy Place.
Can you tell us what it's about? Just a little bit.
It's basically, Emily Henry is this mainstream romance writer, and she usually writes you can plot paint by numbers, but really well-written plots. This one, she kind of flipped it on its head, and it is about a couple that is broken up. And we're the love of each other's lives and now have been forced to be together on this vacation in Maine. And so it's about this relationship and why it fell apart and, how you still love somebody even though you're not together. It's good. I'm pretty addicted to it right now. I'm probably going to finish it in the next day or so.
Oh, okay. Well, you have to let me know how it went after you finish it. Okay. What's the last thing that made you feel joy?
Oh, I love recording podcast episodes. This brings me joy. It does. Even right now, the last thing I was joyful about was this. I always love having conversations and connecting with folks. So that does bring me joy. I would say that's the last thing that brought me joy. Otherwise, just good sheets, waking up in a nice bed with good sheets always makes me happy.
You love the coziness. I'm getting the vibe right now.
That's the vibe. It's like cozy, soft. That's my era right now. And so that would be the other thing. Maybe that would be the thing.
Have you ever tried a weighted blanket?
Yes. Yeah, I got one in my closet.
Me too.
I got it all.
Do you like it?
I do. But it's a pain to make your bed with a 20-pound weighted blanket. I mean, it's a workout. I mean, they don't tell you that piece. Like, girl, you got to get it on the bed and off the bed and on the bed. Yes. No, it's a lot. It's a lot.
Yeah. It's a little bit of a surprise when you have to use the bathroom in the middle of the night and you're like, whoa, it's like you're fighting against the comforter.
Yes, it's not. I like it, but it should have some caveats.
Yes, I agree. When my anxiety is really high, I will come and get the weighted blanket.
Yes.
But not every day. Not for me.
No.
Okay. If you could see one movie again for the first time, what would you watch?
Oh, that's too hard. What is one movie I would see again for the first time? I'm trying to think. I'm a nerd, so everyone's gonna drop off. I love comic book movies when they're done well.
Ooh.
And I think I would probably, I really was ready to hate The Dark Knight, and I loved it and was like, this is so amazing. And then I think the follow-up to that is Captain America and the Winter Soldier. I think that would be a movie. Those two movies, I would be like, I just was so excited when I left the theater. And a caveat, honorable mention, I'll say the movie While You Were Sleeping and the amazing Spider-Man, the one with Miles Morales, the one with the black Spider-Man. Those were all good. All four of those.
Okay.
I would love to see again.
I have movies that I need to add to my list. I haven't watched the Black Spider-Man movie yet.
It's really good. It's way above all the other. It's really, really good.
Okay, because they've been Spider-Maning out for the past 10 years. Since I know. Of them. So I got.
I know.
I watched three.
And I love them all, but this one is, it's a cartoon. I'm not a cartoon person. It is riveting. It's really good. It's really good.
I love it. And we love black nerds around here. Black girl nerds.
Oh, yes. All right. That's what I'm here for.
Okay, one last question. If you could recommend a book to anybody, what book would you recommend?
This is definitely where we got derailed. All right, nonfiction fiction. Okay, I'm gonna be good this time, and maybe we'll do deep cuts and show the old answer. What I would say for folks for nonfiction, there's a couple of books that I love. So we'll start fiction. My favorite book of all time is Their Eyes Were Watching God by Zora Neale Hurston. And I think I nerded out on this the last time. It's my favorite book. It is a journey. It is not an easy read. I will just preface that. But it's also not Toni Morrison heavy either. But it's this beautiful story about it's ultimately a love story about a woman coming home to herself. And that book has meant so much to me in my 20s and my 30s. And now as I get older, I've now become the age of the character. And I'm like, girl, but I have never felt more seen in each stage of my life by that book. And it's beautiful. It's a beautiful commentary on love and femininity. And just, it's a great book. If you can get through it, it's one of the most beautiful books I've ever read. And then I would say for like personal development, what has helped me that is nonfiction is a combination of books. One is by someone I never thought I would recommend to folks. It's Elizabeth Gilbert's Big Magic. And it's a book about creativity. And it's brilliant. It's about how to unleash creativity and to live a creative life that you find joyous. And for someone who's a creative who hasn't always been able to be traditionally creative, it was a book that I never felt more seen about how creativity shows up for you. Those would be the two books that I would recommend. I'm sure there's more. I read for like give me more. Like there's not a book, a genre. This is where we got derailed. I'm like, you name a genre, I got a book. Like what yes. do you want to know? Like DM me for more. Books are like candy. So DM me because that is like I already feel like I'm cheating on all the 50 other books that I want to say are the books that I would recommend. But we'll stick with those two.
Okay. We might have to come back and do an episode where it's just like books on mental health or books that can like
help. Yes, just you got it. Just tell me. Yes. I mean, I've got it. Sonya Renee Taylor's My Body is Not an Apology.
Oh, yes.
Great book. She's about to be on the podcast.
Oh, really?
She's amazing. Oh my gosh. Like that book is a revelation as well. Like there's so many. There's so many, but I'll stop. Yes. I'll stop.
My therapist was like, "You need to buy this book." And so I bought it. Have I read it? Not yet, because I have a stack of 5 books that I have started all of them and have yet to finish them. So
no, that's my life. But it's a hard book in the sense of like it really wakes you up to all the shame that we have around our bodies and how like we have to let it go. It's great.
Oh, I love that. Okay. Well, Kelly, thank you so much for playing along with Fast and Curious. It was fast, but it was curious.
Yeah,
it was like a slow drive, but I love a slow drive, so that works. So Kelly is the person to talk to about burnout. And I want to talk a little bit about like what is burnout, because my thought process around burnout is very work related. So like, you know, I'm working too much, I'm getting burnt out. But some people, this might be a new term for some people, but what is burnout and how does it look different, manifest differently when it comes to Black women?
So burnout is, I will give you like the textbook definition and then how I language it and tie it into how it shows up differently in Black women and why I language it the way I do. So burnout really is a simple equation out of balance. So it's like too many demands, not enough resources, right? So that is burnout. Like people are asking from you more than you can give. And how it shows up in like 3 kind of categories. One is exhaustion, both physical and mental exhaustion. It shows up in negativity and detachment from the work that you do. And then finally, it's just decreased performance. Like you're just not able to do the thing that you love or the thing that you normally do at the level that you normally do. So that's what burnout is, you know, the textbook definition. What I ground myself in is the belief that burnout is also a story of betrayal. It is a betrayal of self, and then also at the same time when we're talking about systems and work, it is a betrayal by the system of work that does not take care of its worker. But it is first and foremost a self-violation. It's like when we betray ourselves, I believe that that leads to burnout quickly. And therefore, how does that impact Black women? It's like we live in a world that constantly tells us to betray ourselves. Right, to put our needs last or to be vilified for standing up for those needs, to build these like stereotypes about who Black women are. And then when that happens, we then say it's a personality issue or you're just being aggressive or assertive. And really a lot of that is exhaustion. It is the negativity. It is just not being able to show up as who you are, fully yourself. And I do believe that for Black women, it is a struggle in a world that doesn't want us to show up as who we are.
Mm. There's so much to unpack in that. And I love that you pointed out that burnout is something that could be put onto us from our environment, but it's also something that we can put onto ourselves. So when we're talking about burnout, once somebody maybe listens to this podcast and is like, I'm burnt out. Maybe it's me listening to you right now and seeing that, yeah, I've been burnt out for 2 months. And side note, last conversation that we had, I talked to Kelly and I was like, I'm not going to get burnt out. I'm going to just, you know, cruise and set boundaries. I didn't. I burned myself out. I got sick again. Then it was a lot. But for people that are listening, what do you do when you start to feel burned out? Like, what are some steps that we can take to, like, get out of this stage?
I think the first thing is I tell people to get really honest about what matters to you. I think when we're in the middle of a thing or when we're starting to get burned out, we lose track of who we are and what's important. And if you don't know what's important, then you can't begin the process of protecting it, which is what gets you out of the burnout kind of slump that you're in. And so it's about what you value, what brings you joy, like remembering those things. Sometimes just a simple act of remembering, oh yeah, this is why I actually did this job. Or more so like, this is a way that I get to connect with people, or this facilitates me paying for my family or spending more time with my partner. Whatever that is, it's important to start there and remember that and really spend some meditative time around that. Like, what are the things that matter to me? And then see the gap between the things that matter to you and how you're showing up in your day-to-day life. Is that showing up, right? It's that first step in recognition that will help you start to find your way out of burnout.
Recognition. That's hard. I'm going to be the first to say that's hard. Like, how do I, what's the next, I mean, it's easy for me to say, okay, I can sit down and do that, but how do I start to like hold myself accountable?
Well, that's the second, once you're clear, part of the accountability is even going through that, because sometimes we start saying things like, oh yeah, family's important. Well, when's the last time you talked to your family? Or when's the last time you spoke to your kids? That is its own accountability mechanism. That's part of that work, is to say, oh, these are the things that matter. And yet the gap between what matters and how I show up day to day is like the Grand Canyon. Like, it couldn't be any further apart. And so the road back to that is acknowledging it and then building systems that keep you accountable, also known as boundaries, right? What are the smallest things that you can do for yourself that sets a boundary to protect the things that you value? And it can be as simple as, I'm going to not have work email on my personal phone. It can be, I'm setting it out of office for when I'm on vacation. Like, I'm not answering my emails when I'm on vacation. But it could also be just saying, you know, I will get to this later, or setting a date night with your partner and saying, I'm going to keep to this date night. So it doesn't have to be this radical reshuffling of your entire schedule or life. It's just small things that you can start to do that shift those priorities back, takes you one more step closer to alignment than being misaligned.
Ah, so there is, what you're telling me, Kelly, is I need to be intentional. So I have to be intentional as I identify I'm here, this is where I want to be, and intentional actions, how do I get from one place to the next?
And small steps, taking it one step at a time. And I think for folks, there's a level of, we just want to do it all. We go in extremes. We're doing nothing, and then we want to do everything. And it's like, you don't have to do everything. If what's important to you is the family, you don't like radically quit your life to go spend time with your family. It's more like, can I start, if let's say it's my parent or my sibling, can I just call them? Can I send them a text today and just say, hey, thinking of you, can we set up a phone call? It starts that small. It is that small. Can I tell my partner, let's grab dinner? Can I say to myself, I'm going to take a day off. Like, I'm going to go in my calendar right now, this moment, and I'm going to plan a day off, and I'm going to fill that day with things that bring me joy. I think we make it too big. It's those small moments that we just do lots of those small things, and then our life becomes one big success versus a series of, like, I have to do these big decisions and these big moments.
I love that. I want to ask you, because burnout is something that, for me, I will just say, especially these last 2 months, as I was feeling burned out, I felt like, okay, am I going into a depression? Like, is it kind of felt similar, but can you talk a little bit about the differences between burnout and depression, and do they intersect at all?
They can intersect, sure, for sure they can intersect. But what I tell people is, what's the difference between a clinical depression and burnout? Is that burnout's context. Like, what is the thing that's burning you out? You take it away, you're like skipping. If I don't have to go to work no more and my bills are paid, I'm fine. Like, I don't have a problem. Depression is like, it wouldn't matter. Like, it's not context specific. It's a chemical misalignment within yourself that just needs to be corrected. And so, but there can be intersections. If you stay too long in burnout, you can develop clinical depression. Like, I want to be clear about that, that it can lead to that, or clinical anxiety, right? But it doesn't have to be. It is very context specific, which is why I really do believe people can heal from burnout. And it doesn't necessarily need medication intervention. It could, but it doesn't need it. Versus, I wouldn't say that just blindly to folks, oh, you can just cure depression. You could heal that. Tomorrow could go away. You could manage it and live a very full, rich, wonderful life. But just like anybody with anything, I have asthma. You know, I have to take my asthma medication to have that full, happy life. And that's where I separate the two.
No, that makes a lot of sense. So there's, what I'm hearing is, with burnout, once you remove the thing that is causing the burnout, whether it be like you need some time away from your kids or your spouse or work, whatever it may be, once that, what is it, antagonist, protagonist? I'm taking it back to the books. Once that piece leaves, then you're feeling back to yourself.
Yes. You usually do. I mean, right? That's why people do vacations and then get annoyed when they come back to work and they're like, ugh, I was enjoying myself. Now I'm back at work. Because it's, the problem is your relationship with work. It's like, you could be, but you got to enjoy your vacation. Someone who's clinically depressed, it wouldn't matter if they went to their dream vacation. They're going to carry that feeling of heaviness and sadness with them if they're in the most beautiful place in the world. So burnout is more context specific.
That makes sense. Kelly, how did you get into talking about burnout? Like, how did this become kind of like a central point of education for you?
I got burned out.
You got burned.
I got spectacularly burned out, big time. My first professional job out the gate, I lasted 3 years and was literally in a pile on the floor, quit with no job lined up. Had clinical, now we're talking about it, it turned into, I have PTSD from that experience. And that, it was many things. Like, it wasn't just burnout. Also, like I said, I have PTSD. Some really traumatic things happened. I was working in a prison system, so you can only imagine. But it was burnout. Like, I didn't, and part of what led me to doing this work is that I realized for so long, I didn't recognize or have the language for burnout, right? And because I didn't know what it was I was experiencing, I just brought some of those bad habits. It was never as bad as that first job, but it was just like a series of smaller burnouts because I didn't know that's what was happening, that I had developed some very unhealthy habits. And so it became a passion of mine when I was in trauma work. That was my specialty as a therapist, which we'll get it. I mean, that's a whole other story about maybe I should have been doing some trauma work myself. But I was a traumatologist. That was my actual interest and my expertise in mental health. And so it was doing an offshoot of that and doing burnout that I learned, oh, that's what that is. And for me, it became a passion to transform the way we talk about burnout by giving people the language to both recognize it. And then once they recognize it, they can recover from it.
Oh, that is, wow. So How did you know that you were burned out when you got burned out? Like, did you know anything about burnout at that time?
No. Girl, no. I was just like, this is terrible. And then to be so young, like, I was so young. I was in my early 20s. I was just like, this is terrible. I don't know what this is. And so a lot of shame and guilt followed me just because I didn't know what it was I was experiencing. And I was just, well, I just have to work harder. I have to do more. And then it was just this pattern. I had no idea. Burnout back then was like cars and, you know, NASCAR and Formula One or whatever that thing is. You Google burnout, that's what would come up. Or candle. Yeah. It was never that topic. No one's talking about it then.
Yeah. But now it is something that is not only that regular people are talking about within households, friend groups, but now it's moved kind of into the corporate space of,
yes,
this is a focus of how do we actually I mean, from a business perspective, how do we manage productivity? But from a person perspective, how do we really take employees into account as a, like, as a whole human being, not just like this person that is here to produce? Like, what is that? What is burnout, teaching corporations about burnout, kind of look like for you?
It's about helping leadership and leaders. I mean, I also help the workforce, obviously. Like, I give the tools that I would give anyone. But I, for me, my passion is in helping leaders set up systems. You know, you and I are both systems people in different ways. But setting up systems that do not cause people to burn out. And it's so, we think the way that we work normally, we think is helpful. And everything about the way we work in modern times is not helpful. It is the enemy of innovation. It is the enemy of productivity. And we keep doing it. It is the definition of insanity to keep doing the same thing and hoping for a different result. So it is literally insane the way that the world is working. And I help people restructure that narrative and tell them your bottom line isn't affected when you do these things. It's affected when you don't. So people do need rest. They do need that to be better at their jobs. But not only do they need rest, but there's systems that you could do better. We have a system that encourages people to do quantity versus quality. That's just like the way we work, which is silly and not good for your bottom line. You're letting people waste hours. Just, you know, we all been doing it. We all do it. We're like, oh, girl, it's Friday. Let me move the mouse. Like, mm-hmm. We are doing that. It's like, well, maybe you could just have somebody working a 4-day week. And they don't have to worry about phoning it in on Friday and moving their mouse around and being like, yeah, let me pretend I care. But they would be really productive Monday through Thursday. So that's just a simple example of, I do more specific things with the way I work with folks. But I try to get them to see those bigger systems issues that actually help people not get burned out and show up and care about their job and stay good.
Oh. I love it. And it does start with great leadership, because that makes a huge difference.
Oh, yeah.
Like, with the follow through and the true buy-in. Because to buy in when things are great is, you know, that's easy. But I think true leaders buy in and really hold tight to the things that you're talking about when times are not great. Times are hard.
Yes.
Seas are rough. Yes. Oh, I love that. You're doing amazing work. As somebody who's in corporate America, it is definitely needed. And I'm all for the 4-day work week. I am a big proponent of autonomy and the 4-day work week, because
yes,
like give me a little bit of, give me more time for joy and I can give you more when I'm on.
Especially generationally. Like, that's the other thing. People just don't get it. Like, I really am into, I'm a millennial. And so I'm really into helping people understand that millennials will give you everything if you give them purpose and you give them flexibility. And there'll be people like, it was a Saturday, I was bored, so I redid this spreadsheet. And you're like, okay, I wouldn't have done it, but here it is for free. Okay. I mean, I'm not paying you on Saturday, but it doesn't matter, because they're so excited about the work that they do. And I know that from my perspective, I'm that kind of person. And I'm not saying you were going to encourage overwork, but I'm just saying it comes out of a place of like, I just couldn't not do it. I wanted to get this thing done. People are more productive. And as we deal with like Gen Z, bye. They're not coming here to do nonsense. They're not coming here for that. No, they're like, goodbye, not. I will be unemployed. Yes. So it's really important too that we help people see that the workforce is changing and we've got to change with it. And some of it is honestly, it's a lot of it's for the better.
Yeah, 100%. And shout out to Gen Z. Y'all are badasses, because I mean, I thought I was doing something, making sure that I don't reply on when I'm on vacation. But y'all are like, do not contact me while I'm on vacation. And if it's unlimited PTO, I am going to take it. I love that. And I think that every generation is going to like put their foot down in different ways. And just because life is really about life. Like, yes, especially here in America, you have to work, and you have to work often and very hard. But if we don't value what happens outside of work and all we're doing is like living to work, what kind of life is that?
Yeah. It's not one. And I think Gen Z and us as millennials saw the other generations do that, and then they got ripped off. Their retirements got stolen by other people. They had heart attacks or health issues and crises after retirement. You know, I don't, my poor parents, like my father retired because he had cancer. He's a survivor. He's made it through. But that's what ended his work career. And I thought to myself, my daddy does not deserve that. He did not, those people did not care about him for him to work himself and only retire because of health. That's not, and so seeing that, it's like we all decided that's not going to be me. Like, I don't want to have that. Work isn't that important for me.
Yeah, 100%. Work is, relationships are important, and I think holding the, and for me, love is important, relationships, explorations, conversations like this. I think as we all go through life and get older and wiser, we're trying to be wiser, but we start to realize, okay, number one, time is not promised. And for me to, I honestly feel like I've wasted time in this last 2 months being burned out. And I'm like, I'm going to talk to Kelly and she's going to be like, girl, we talked about this. But I just feel like I have wasted a lot of time in these past 2 months as I reflect and as I start to figure out what can I do to bridge that, okay, this is what I want and this is what I need and then here's where I'm at. How do I get from point A to point B? Like, what can I put into place to actually not get burned out? So I've wasted time, but life is life, and it was life in, and now this conversation has definitely had me thinking about how can I actually avoid this from happening, because
you took a pause. It's not fun, and you didn't waste time. You took a pause and processed. I mean, that's part of it. It's all like, it's having a moment. Oh, I got to pivot and turn, and we need those times to do that anyways. So you didn't waste it. It's just you took a pause. And I think the other thing that people can do right now is it is about self-care and understanding who you are and what's important. Because having a daily kind of self-care practice, which we talk about and do wrong all the time, it's like, it should be free. It should be less than 10 minutes a day. Like, keep it simple, keep it simple, keep it simple and repeatable. That's the goal. Mm-hmm. And having things that fill you up and making sure your relationships, making sure your life outside of work, which you may have limited control over, reclaim your life. Like, you have control about what happens when you're not logged in or not in at the location. And make sure that you are curating a life that is joyful in little ways. Like, I have a playlist when I used to drive in that's like, that's my joy playlist when I'm coming home or getting to work. That's my self-care. You know, it doesn't have to be luxurious. It is the fact that I love a cup of tea and I have a whole ritual. I started the thing by talking about, I love coziness. I keep cozy around me all the time. Like, I buy nice sheets and I have a lotion that I like. Those are the small ways that we bring joy into our life, and that those small moments build to a joyful life.
Oh, I love that. Small moments build to a joyful life. I think that's the title. Thank you, Kelly.
Yes, I love it. I love it.
No, I love that. And before we wrap up, I just want to ask you, what's one piece of advice that you, I mean, there's so many pieces of advice, but for somebody that is feeling burnt out in this moment, and it's because of work or it's because of family, what's one thing that they can do today to help?
So, yes, give yourself compassion, one, and know that it's not all you. Like, the systems of work and life, particularly for Black girls, it is built, it is pushing you toward burnout. So first, just give yourself some compassion. That's step one. And then I think the small thing you can do after you've given yourself compassion is letting yourself imagine. Like, I know this sounds silly, but it's like letting yourself imagine about what you want your life to be and what it could be. What is the gaps? What is missing? And spending time thinking about it, because it's in the recognition and the understanding of what's missing that you can start to build to get it. Then there's a bunch of steps you can do afterward to get what you want, but we need to articulate it. Otherwise, you're just going to end up burned out again, right? Like, it's like, if you don't know what you're going toward, then you're just going to be pulled back at all times. And it's going to be constantly going back and going back. New job, same results. And it's really important to take control of understanding, like, what is my life? What do I want it to be? And give yourself permission to not limit that.
Oh, I love that. Thank you so much, Kelly. I appreciate you. This has been a great conversation. Come back whenever you want. But thank you so much. Thank you so much for coming today and talking with us about burnout and reminding us that, like, the small little things that we do in life actually do create a joyful life, and we deserve compassion while we're figuring that out.
Absolutely. That. We need all the compassion in the world for ourselves.
Yes. Well, Kelly, can you tell everybody where they can find the podcast and where they can find you?
Yes. So you can find the podcast on all channels. It's Black Girl Burnout. I think maybe Twitter's wrong. It's Black Girl Burnout. You can find us at blackgirlburnout.com or on all major streaming platforms. And if you want to connect specifically with me, it's Kelly A. Bonner across all major platforms. And yeah, that's pretty much the primary ways to reach me. And listen to the podcast, because we have very similar intersecting pieces. I'm going to send my audience over to Black Girls Have Anxiety too, as well, because I think we got to support Black creators, because it's hard out in these streets if you're a podcaster. So
it is. Make sure you guys go and support. I listen to Black Girl Burnout. I've sent it to my friends. Make sure you go listen. Send it to your friends. I'm all for Black creators, specifically Black women, supporting other Black women. And yes, her podcast is fire. So if you are here for continuing to grow and awesome conversations with amazing guests, like, y'all need to go follow Black Girl Burnout. Okay? Y'all, this has been an amazing episode. But no, I did not forget about the mind games question. Y'all thought I forgot. Nah, I didn't. But we are going to circle back to the mind games question of the day. And I'm going to kind of breeze through the description just in case you forgot. We've been talking about so much good stuff about burnout and, most importantly, the difference between burnout. And if you remember what we were comparing burnout to, you might have a clue as to what the answer is. But let's go back to the description. Depression. I just told y'all the answer. That might be the first time I've done that. We're just going to roll with it. So this particular disorder is a mood disorder that causes a persistent feeling of sadness and loss of interest in things and activities you once enjoyed. It can cause difficulty with thinking, memory, eating, and sleeping. It's normal, of course, to feel sad or grieve, but this particular feeling or this particular disorder persists practically every day for at least 2 weeks. It involves other symptoms. So I know I kind of gave it away, but the answer is depression, y'all. It's depression. So there are lots of different types of depression. I think, did you guys know that? There are several different types of depression, but the one that we are most familiar with is going to be clinical depression. So clinical depression, it's also known as major depressive disorder. It's a diagnosis where you felt sad, low, or worthless most days for at least 2 weeks, while also having other symptoms such as sleeping problems, loss of interest in activities, or change in appetite. Clinical depression or major depressive disorder is the most severe form of depression and one of the most common forms of depression. Another type of depression is persistent depressive disorder, or PDD. Persistent depressive disorder is a mild or moderate depression that lasts for at least 2 years. The symptoms are less severe than major depressive disorder. Some healthcare providers used to call this PDD dysthymia. And y'all know I'm not a mental health professional, so I'm doing the best I can to pronounce this word. But it is spelled D as in dog, Y-S-T-H-Y-M-I-A, dysthymia. Interesting word, right? PDD dysthymia. There's another type of depression called disruptive mood dysregulation disorder, DMDD. And this causes chronic, intense irritability and frequent anger outbursts in children. Some of these symptoms actually start by around the age of 10. That was a new one. I had not heard of disruptive mood dysregulation disorder. Might be something I dive more into because I'm curious now. It's got my wheels turning. Another type of depression is premenstrual dysphoric disorder. And if you have been listening to the pod for a while, or if you are one of those people that's running through the episodes, number one, I appreciate you. But PMDD, or premenstrual dysphoric disorder, is actually something we've talked about on the podcast before. If you scroll back, I want to say probably in the first 10 or 15 episodes, we actually did an episode with IAPMD. I always get the acronym wrong, but it's the International... I'm getting this wrong, and I should know this. I'm actually going to look it up. IAPMD. Give me one second. I'm actually going to find this because I'm mad at myself for not knowing this. So IAPMD. So a while back, we had a guest on the episode. The name of the organization that came and spoke to us, they are called IAPMD. And I always get the acronym wrong, but I've got it right today. It's the International Association for Premenstrual Disorders. And on that particular episode, we talked about premenstrual dysphoric disorder. If you've never heard of it before, some of the symptoms are similar to PMS or premenstrual syndrome. So that it also includes mood symptoms such as extreme irritability, anxiety, or depression. These symptoms tend to improve a few days after your period starts, but can be severe enough to interfere with your life. Now, one of the reasons I was interested in, and I'm still interested in PMDD particularly, I won't go into it too much right now, but I have thoracic endometriosis. And not that endometriosis and PMDD go hand in hand, but for me, as I did some exploring into endometriosis and starting to get a better understanding of my experience with endometriosis, and I started to track what my mood changes were. And I had a friend of mine, she actually has PMDD, and she told me that, she told me about it. That was the first time I'd heard about it. And I was like, what is PMDD? I've never heard of this. I actually did a self-screening test. I believe the link will be in that other episode, but I did a self-screening test, and I also downloaded this app that I think I tracked it for like 30 days, that essentially said I had PMDD. And I want to preface that by saying I'm not self-diagnosing, but a lot of what I experience is on par with the description of PMDD. So it's essentially a cyclical hormone-based mood disorder. Those symptoms, like I mentioned before, they arise during the premenstrual, or what's called the luteal phase of the menstrual cycle, and they usually go away within the first few days of your period. It affects about 5.5% of women, and certain individuals of reproductive age. So it is, while it's connected to your menstrual cycle, it is not a hormone imbalanced. It's just a hormone base reaction. So it's a severe negative reaction in the brain to the natural rise and fall of estrogen and progesterone. I do want to, I know that the 5.5 percentage stat that I just shared, I do want to just share that PMDD is something relatively new. IAPMD is doing work, and it's one of the bigger organizations that I found that's actually doing the work to dig into more research about IAPMDD. I'm getting my acronyms wrong. It's one of the more known organizations that's doing work when it comes to PMDD. I highly suggest, if any of that piques your curiosity or sounds like something that may be somewhat familiar to what your experiences are, definitely go back and check out that episode. We don't talk about PMDD enough. I should probably talk about it more. I actually had two episodes on it. So I did an episode with IAPMD, with their director of education. Of course, it was purely education. That's where you can learn about more about PMDD. But I did a second episode with Deja. Shout out to Deja. She's from my hometown of Las Vegas. And she's an amazing human being. But she is a Black woman that has been diagnosed and lives with PMDD. So if you want to hear somebody's story, that story of somebody that's going through PMDD, make sure you roll back, download that episode, and definitely give it a listen. So another couple more types of depression: seasonal affective disorder, aka SAD. So if you follow the page, you probably see during the winter I tend to post more about SAD or seasonal affective disorder. It's a form of major depressive disorder that usually arises, it comes and goes, ebbs and flows with the change of the season. So usually between fall and winter, some people may experience seasonal affective disorder or seasonal depression, and it tends to go away in the spring and the summer. I find that to be super interesting, and I also have like all these ideas about how humans were really like meant to be more in touch with nature and the you know, I feel like I'm happiest when I'm in the sun. And so I feel like all of those things have to do with each other, especially like the shorter days, and you add in daylight savings time and we're only getting like so much daytime. I'm curious to see how much that affects it, but I digress. Another type of depression: prenatal depression, and of course postpartum depression. Those are two topics that I have not talked enough about on this podcast. If you are somebody that has experienced postpartum depression, prenatal depression, which we really don't talk about, or if you are a mental health professional and you would like to come on and talk about that and it's your passion, hit me up, because I would love to talk about this particular topic. Prenatal depression is depression that happens during pregnancy, and of course postpartum or post-pregnancy, post you giving birth, is a depression that develops within 4 weeks of delivering a baby. I know people are talking about it more and more, but it's definitely something that I want to give some more time to on the podcast. So keep an eye out. Also hit me up if you want to talk about it. Atypical depression. This is going to be the last one of the day. So the symptoms of this particular type of depression, it's known as a major depressive disorder with atypical features, or I don't want to say abnormal. We'll just stick with atypical. It varies slightly from typical depression. The main difference in this is a temporary mood improvement in response to positive events. Mood reactivity. Other key symptoms include increased appetite and rejection sensitivity. That's super interesting. So this kind of reminds me of what I mentioned earlier about, you know, I've been feeling really burnt out the past couple months. I kind of thought I was depressed. If you guys recall, Kelly spoke about the major differences between depression and burnout. One being that burnout is really environmental, and it's really set, not just environmental, but it has to do with the things that you're directly interacting with that are causing the burnout. So this atypical depression is very interesting in that there is a temporary mood improvement in response to positive events. So like she mentioned, the vacation that you can take, taking that vacation, if you're burned out, of course, you're going to feel great on the vacation. And if you're depressed or clinically depressed, the traditional type of depression, then you will still be depressed. With atypical depression, there is a temporary mood improvement, but I do want to just point out, the mood improvement is temporary. So it is still different than burnout in that that mood improvement, even though your environment changed, your job changed, whatever it may be, is still temporary, and will likely go back to the normal depressive mood. That might have been the longest mind games answer I have ever given y'all, but thank you so much for everybody that's listening. My name is Ashley. This is Black Girls Have Anxiety Too. I appreciate you all for listening, and I will talk to you guys soon. Have a wonderful day, everyone. Thank you, Kelly. Bye.
Thank you. Take care, everyone. Bye.
Thank you so much for listening to another episode of Black Girls Have Anxiety Too. No matter where you are in the world, I really appreciate your support. See you again on the next episode, but until then, follow us on Instagram at Black Girls Have Anxiety Too and on Twitter at Anxious Black Girls. That's Anxious BLK Girls. And remember, just because you're struggling doesn't mean you have to struggle in silence. The more we talk about it, the more we heal.